Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shots to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boo boo, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo. Welcome back, my friends, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am your host, Dan Stanadu. Happy to be with you. Happy to be joining you for Season 6, Son of Boogaloo. In this episode, we are going to be talking Captain America 2, Death Too Soon, starring Brett Brown, one of my absolute favorites. But speaking of my absolute favorites, I am so happy to be here with my friends. I got Jim Cotta in the house.
I am happy to be here too, Stan, and I want you and I want all the listeners to know something about me. The old people around here are my friends.
Well, yeah, and the cats. The old people and the cats. All right, next up we have Jack Hall, and I know that he doesn't like old people or cats.
Or anything, really. Stop.
And then I got Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. You know, you get any more enthusiastic saying friends, I'm getting a restraining order.
that would make my day. yes. Well, fine.
Much like Christopher Lee obviously had against Red Brown in this film.
I think Christopher Lee just had more or less had a restraining order about being actually in it. But what did they get him for a day? But that's all good.
Well, not any day that Red Brown worked, because that's all stunt work.
All right. Well, Nick, tell us about Death Too Soon.
Well, it's when death happens a little too soon. This is the second. This is the second of two TV movies starring Red Brown, starring Captain America. In this one, a secret government task force, who may or may not be secret, let's just call it a government task force, tasks Captain America to find a scientist that has been kidnapped who is working on the cure for aging. He hasn't been successful in curing aging, but he has been successful in speeding aging up so he can test his cure. Now, he's kidnapped by a revolutionary of seems to be South American defense, although he's played for Christopher Lee, that causes a little confusion there, named McGill. McGill, his grand plan is to age the population of the United States, one city at a time, extorting ransom demands from the U.S. government. Captain America sets out and stops him in adventurous fashion, sporting his best sportswear.
This outfit's amazing.
It's better than the first movie. His outfit, I mean, they got the stripes going in the right way this time. He's recognizable in this movie as Captain America, unlike the first movie.
This movie, it's so TV movie. There's just a certain, I mean, Man, you got that CBS feel. Christopher Lee being in it was crazy, but you got Connie Selica, and just from the opening title, it's TV Boogaloo. It's totally different than regular. I understand this was released theatrical in France in 1980, but
unlike the first one, which was released theatrically only in Colombia, that seems like a natural.
Yeah.
I love that because it was released theatrically, the DVD quality is pretty good for what you'd expect from like a TV movie made at that time. But there's also cigarette burns in the corner.
Oh yes, there was,
which I thought was right. Wonderful. That that warmed my heart actually seeing those marks.
I love the titles though, because the titles are one of those cases where you don't normally look at like the opening credits and the names as they come up. But in this case, I was drawn to the fact that they were not lined up at all. Some of them were centered. Some of them had the second name like shifted off to the left too far. Some of them, they were lined up left justified. They were all over the map on this thing. I just picture it was like some schlub, you know, guy who's there at like 2 a.m, like, hey, you got to get the titles done on this. We got to get this on air. Oh, fine. Reb fucking Brown. What? Oh, it's off center. Fuck it. You know?
I think that's accurate. I think there's nothing about that that's not accurate.
Yeah, I mean, this movie, in the, while being a TV movie, it definitely had a lot of giggles, but to me I think it's like, what if you took a Wonder Woman plot and the Incredible Hulk plot and took all the worst parts and combined them to form Captain America? that's kind of how it felt to me, because
I think that's exactly what happened.
Because, you know, it's like Captain America heads into the town and it's just like he finds the family and he winds up staying with them, and I'm like, well, that's straight out of the Incredible Hulk. I think that was every single plot for every single episode of the Incredible Hulk.
I was confused.
Same plot as BJ and the Bears.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, let's not be too rough on Captain America here. I mean, it's not like, I mean, this was a fairly standard plot for about 30 years of television. Like, I mean, it's also the plot of the A-Team, if you want to be this way about it.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but when I was watching this, I just was so, I really had a hankering to watch the $6 Million Man.
You got a little taste of it, because every time he uses his superpowers, that you hear the noise.
Yeah,
you hear the same.
That's what it felt like the most ripoff of.
Yeah, was,
you know, tone wise and just like everything, the powers, the way he jumped, like it's a slow motion way he jumped. All of that was so $6 Million Man. I mean, I'm pretty sure this film was put together by people who had never in their life actually read a Captain America comic. Because, like, his powers are completely, like, and I do mean powers, you know, bending steel bars and all this stuff is like, completely.
He's definitely powered up from our usual Captain America. I love the bit later on in the film where he throws his bike over the prison wall.
God, that was the greatest brilliant. Thing ever.
He picks it up one-armed, and he tosses it, and it just goes straight up the wall. It's like about a 20-foot wall. It goes straight up, goes to the left, and then it comes straight down onto the wall. It's
meanwhile, when he throws his shield at Christopher Lee, he misses. Christopher Lee takes one step to the left, or to the right, I guess.
Well, that's because that shield takes 4 minutes to boomerang.
Oh, yeah. If you can't see that thing coming, you have time to go to the fridge, get a drink, come back, and still avoid it.
Everything about the shield is so much Boogaloo. Like, it floats, it boomerangs. I love that there's one point where a guy's like all ready to judo him, and he just holds up the shield, and it's like it magically attracts the guy to it. Like, you've got to hit the shield. Love it.
Oh yeah, the black guy rushing in, that so they can shoot through the shield and show it. That shield isn't moving at that point. He just
no, he's just standing still, and the guy runs directly to him.
But, and there's that one shot. The why first boomerang.
His legs. Why doesn't somebody shoot at his? He'll run by. His shield will be up, covering his head and his chest. I'm like, well, just shoot him in the ass or something. That's not where his shield is. Why do you aim right at the shield?
The first boomerang. At one point, they're actually shooting down toward him and still hitting the shield that's on the front of the motorbike. I think it might have some kind of magnetic property.
It is. Well,
and what plastic piece of plastic?
Because that's where I'm going here. Like that first boomerang moment, the one not be like well before he's battling General Miguel. You know, and he throws the shield up and he's like, yeah, the guy's like, you missed. And as you see the thing, it's wobbling in the air because it's like a Frisbee. And they've shown people playing with Frisbees earlier. And I'm like, yeah, his shield is like a Frisbee now. And as he rides with it, because it's great because it acts as the windscreen on his motorcycle. Mm-hmm. But as he rides with it, this is Captain America's shield. You know, as we know it in the movies, it's strong, it's metallic, and obviously it's strong. It stops bullets, but the wind manages to make it wobble like some sort of...
Well, and the same thing when the dog is attacking it, and he's holding up the shield, and the dog is pushing it, it's pushed it right in, it's just like bending, but it'll bounce, bullets will bounce off it. It makes total sense to me.
Did
they explain, I'm wondering, in the first movie, which I did not see, do they explain why that shield is the way it is and its properties in any way, or is it just like Boogaloo?
I believe there's a conversation about it, but most of what you're bringing up, I believe, is in the direction. Speaking of which, anyone actually look up what the director is famous for?
I did not.
I did. I didn't recognize any of those films.
Oh, no. He's not famous for films.
Oh, I see.
That's
it.
Good to know. Okay.
That's what great.
Ivan Nagy, most. Now, true, he directed this is his big film.
Okay.
Captain America 2, Death Too Soon. He also did a couple episodes of Chips and Starsky and Hutch. Okay. Most famous for being the Hollywood bookmaker and partner to Madam Heidi Fleiss.
Oh, that's fantastic. Awesome.
That's awesome.
That's a fantastic piece of trivia there, Nick.
I see his other credits seem to be perhaps slightly skewed towards the mature audiences, like All Nude Nikki, All Nude Athena, All An American Pimp. These credits say video, short video.
Come
video.
On, please. If you're not showing those to your kids, then you just don't love them.
You gotta learn. They gotta learn. They gotta learn how to pimp somehow.
Well, it ain't easy.
It's hard out here to be a pimp.
That's right.
But one of the things that I love about like TV movies in the 80s in this case was how easily, and 70s and 80s, was how easily people took over whole towns. Because... Like Miguel shows up and I think 10 minutes later, he's got control of the whole town and everybody's too afraid because he won't give them the serum, even though it's never been shown that he's ever given them, like that he's ever tested anything on them in the first place. But
no, they explain all of that. They even tell you how they're getting the serum.
Well,
he said they exposed everyone.
Oh, okay.
And then you have to go to the vet.
Yes, the vet.
To get your shot.
Well, they exposed everyone, and then they cured the animals.
Yeah.
Which I thought was like, why?
Yeah, particularly when the vet isn't a real vet and he can't help anyone.
Well, we said serum on animals. Let me tell you something. If I'm dying quickly and I find out the animals are being saved, I'll be like, what the hell? Dude, over here, human.
But yeah, but that's the kind of thing that only happens in like TV shows from like in action adventure TV shows, I think.
I love that he gets into town and immediately they try to beat the hell out of him. Because nothing says this place isn't suspicious like trying to beat the hell out of a stranger who's sitting in a park painting a cat.
I know.
By the way, I mean, sorry. I'm going to clarify that. He's painting a picture of a cat. He's not painting the cat itself. I felt that I should jump in there with that.
That's true, because if you're painting a cat, then you do deserve it.
I like the fact that actually is, I would suggest they have read a Captain America comic if they know that he has been an artist at some point.
As an artistic
I think they just looked up his a biography given to him, like a one paragraph biography given to them by, because let's face it, everything else, like I referenced the $6 million man, but that comes back to the people that he's working with, the Connie Selica character, and that just the whole, like, all of that comes back to the characters that are the female doctor, the head of the whatever agency, the one person, like all of that again felt completely ripped off of let's face it, one of the most popular shows of the era.
But how great is Connie Selica? I mean, come on.
I was so excited.
She's great. I guess she wasn't in the first one, so she's
a replacement actress, right? Yeah. Like it's the same character but not the same actress. I love Connie Selica. Great to see her. I love she's so misplaced that she every time she's in a scene with Reb Brown, she looks like she's trying to sneak up on him. Like, she's just got this look about her, like she doesn't trust Reb Brown at all.
Well, there's that moment right off the bat where it's just like, does she actually know that he's Captain America? Who knows that he's Captain America? Because I'm not convinced that
it
they
feels
do.
Like everyone.
But it feels like everyone. Like everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, Reb Brown walks around the whole movie looking like he's trying to remember how to breathe. So, I mean,
maybe the man is a genius.
It seems to be asking a lot of his brain power.
You guys saw a completely different movie than I did. I was asking the big
question. We watched the second one. We told you, watch the second one. It's fun.
No, I watched this movie, and I mean, I remember all this happening, but I spent my time thinking about why test your formula on a cougar?
Yeah, so let's go into detail on this. So,
this is
they want to convince the president that they
all the animals, you think that would be the least convenient to get.
So they deliver a live cougar to the White House. I guess the White House, or they deliver it somewhere. It makes it back to the West Coast at some point. So I don't know. They deliver a cougar, and then apparently those age in such a specific way that you can tell when 38 days have passed in its aging process, because they tell us that.
How quickly was it that this thing, the aging process was again? I don't
38 days an hour. 38 days an hour, I think, is what they say.
And then there's the they get the antidote, and they're like, well, how do we know it's not poison? So she tests on herself. What about the cougar?
Well, I have two questions there. Yes. One, why not the cougar? And two, you don't have the disease, so why are you testing it on yourself? All it proves that it will kill you. It doesn't prove it works.
Yeah. But no, the fact, like, I really didn't understand why they didn't test it on the frickin' cougar, given that they could tell. Like, the cougar.
I mean, it took you an hour to find. Yeah, it took you an hour to find out. So
the cougar was all, you knew it was already infected. So it just seems like a natural testing thing, instead of Connie Selica on the airplane flying wherever the hell she was going, or flying to Portland. You know?
No, I understand. Why test it on the cougar when you can test it on the MILF?
Zing. That's a solid.
Spent a good portion of this movie wondering how everyone doesn't know Captain America's Reb Brown, because he keeps his motorbike on the back of his van.
I love that he puts the bike inside the van, and then he changes into costume. This is a very roomy van, by the way.
Yeah.
He changes into the van. I think there's a flaring thing at the front that he does put on that's different than when the bike's on the outside of the truck. But then he starts a bike, and the back doors fly open, and billows of smoke come out, and he flies out of this thing. That cannot be good for you. You're running a vehicle inside an enclosed space. Clearly, there's a lot of exhaust. I'd hate that. What a way for Captain America to die. like asphyxiates in the back of his van, starting up his motorbike.
So he takes the bike off and moves it into the van.
Yeah, he has to do that.
Okay, see, I missed that entirely.
And he obviously has to have room for two bikes because the when he got, you know, tossed into the river or the ocean or whatever, and one unless he managed to like swim away and save the bike and dry it off and bring it in back into the van.
Save it. I just thought that another bike magically appeared.
Well, and that's what I want to believe in is that his van just generates his Captain America bikes.
Because I thought the bad guys convinced themselves they had killed Captain America after he jumped off the bridge because they were shooting at his bike.
Yeah. So his bike goes out. He's on the top of a dam, and he goes off, and then it's like, you know, it's dam height. It's like it's damn far down.
It's a big dam. It's Folsom Dam.
Yeah,
so, you guys are exactly what these people who made this film wanted, and that you are just assuming a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
but then what I love is not only do they watch the bike to see if he makes it or not, but they're standing at they're at the top of this van. They see the bike in the water and they shoot down at it. It's like a mile away, and like just for shits and giggles to put the exclamation the dot on the exclamation mark. They just shoot a few rounds down. Just to make sure. I love it. That well, damn scene is great.
Yeah, I also spent a significant amount of time in this movie trying to figure out why the bad guys use matching baseball bats to beat Red Brown up.
Except for the leader who used a black pipe.
This movie is insane. Uh-huh.
I'm starting to appreciate how insane it is listening to you guys.
Yeah, as you like, sometimes when you don't think it's that insane, and then you start comparing notes, and you're like, "Well, what about this part? Wasn't that nuts?" Oh yeah, and that just adds on to what you're thinking of the level of crazy.
We haven't even mentioned the prison scene, so. I mean, Captain America driving around inside a building in a prison.
I think it's important to say we haven't mentioned the prison scene. We're not talking about anal rape in any way. For what?
No,
for the
no,
first time
for
in
anal
history,
rape, you need bond beds in this prison.
Boogaloo, when we're talking about a prison scene, we're not talking anal rape.
Yeah, it is the. Yeah, it everything in the prison is weird. So he figures out that Christopher Lee's hiding out in the prison. So he motorbikes over there to check it out, and luckily. Every building has an open front door and straight hallways, arrow straight hallways, with sufficient area at intersections for him to turn a motorbike around. So that's how he searches. Is he searches only the ground floor of every building looking for Christopher Lee.
I'm just confused why he needed to ride the motorbike inside the prison, given that they already established earlier that he could outrun on sand a dune buggy.
I love that he's running past wearing that outfit and nobody even bothers to look up.
Oh yeah, it's just like,
so normal.
It's a guy who runs 50 kilometers an hour or like, you know,
Jack, explain the look of Captain America in this film, because it's a little different than people are hearing us talk and they're thinking Chris Evans, Captain America. Make a word picture for what we're looking at.
Easier said than done. How do you explain the Captain America in this? Well, first off, the hair. Let's face it, that perm was fantastic. Curly hair, you know.
That's,
I mean, Red Brown's admittedly a very very muscular gentleman. But the outfit itself is, the blue is a little more, what's the word? Not masculine.
A bit more lycra-y. A little more yoga studio than superhero.
Yeah. The mask around the face. Now I understand that it was they weren't originally going to be doing the helmet that he has to wear but the local authorities, the highway patrol insisted on a helmet for safety for Captain America, so they just made it part of the actual, you know, so that makes sense. I think all that we can all understand, but yeah, I think it's the mask, the blue mask, that just kind of, I don't know, it looks like it's painted on, but it's clearly not. I don't know how to explain it. How do you explain the mask, guys?
Well, because it's, yeah, it's like a motorcycle helmet that over top of, if you stuck that over top of Captain America's actual mask.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, it looks like a plastic piece. Like it looks like it's cut out of, like cut out of an old leatherette jacket or something.
Yeah, it's got this weird, like it literally looks, it looks super uncomfortable to wear. Like, yeah, it's a very strange, it's a strange mask, and in no way does it rip. You know, they may have gotten more of the costume correct, and it was, I guess, a legendary costume maker who did this. She had worked for like tons of movies and different things, and it was a big improvement on the first one, but it's still a, like, that mask is wrong. Like, the face is wrong. It doesn't look anything right, like anything that people would associate with Captain America.
I'm willing to believe it was at the end of her career when her eyesight was failing, so...
Well, likely she was working in the 40s, so
nice.
Well, what do you say we go into scoring?
I think so.
I think that seems like the only thing that the socially responsible thing to
socially
do.
Socially responsible. Yeah.
All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in 5 categories, none of which are objective quality.
Not if we want them to do well.
Yeah. The first category is called Schlock Appeal, and we start with Stan.
All right. Well, this one, I mean, and again, I think it grew as we started talking about it. I definitely got laughs out of this because it was so silly, and of course, you know, you talk about the various things like the motorcycle and the puff of smoke. So there is a lot of schlock. I'm gonna have to ding it for being TV schlock because it is fairly typical of that era. But I'm gonna go with a 6.
Wow, I'm not gonna even go that high. I'm going with a 4. I mean, this is, it's a TV movie. It's not a particularly good TV movie. It's not a typically bad TV movie either. It's just a TV movie. We wouldn't remember this movie today if it wasn't Captain America.
I don't know about the it's not a particularly bad TV movie part.
Well, I'm not willing to argue that point. So
I don't know if that's quite accurate. Yeah, it's not a good movie. No, but the thing is, it's not schlocky because it's, it has the production values exactly of what you would predict a movie made for television movie in the late 70s would have. Like I say, it has production values on par with more well thought of movies. I mean, you mentioned it was a made for TV movie. And the fact is it actually aired in 2 parts. And the second part that aired with it was, you know, it was Salem's Lot, because of course they're a natural pair.
Absolutely.
But I mean, if you look at like a movie like that and you look at a movie like this, production value wise, schlock appeal wise, I don't really think there is much difference. So I don't think it's schlocky. It's poor at times, but not schlocky. So yeah, I got a 4 as well.
4, wow. Just fixing the octagon here. I'm being much more generous. I think 70s Christopher Lee starts you at least a 6. And
there is that.
I think his equipment is incredible in this film, and I think it's so movie serial, and like he's got the van that billows smoke. He's got the motorbike with the shield attachment, and we didn't even talk about that the motorbike becomes a hang glider at one point.
Oh
no,
yes,
no,
spoilers, moment, dude.
But that's the thing, though. What makes it stand out schlock wise compared to, say, the Spider-Man of the era, or the Incredible Hulk of the era, or any of these other ones?
The fact that we haven't talked about them yet.
Okay, well, I'm gonna stop and say one thing. That sentence structure made it sound like the Spider-Man of this time wasn't schlocky.
Yeah, exactly.
But the point is, or like I say, or Starsky and Hutch, or You know,
I think Starsky Hutch is a better example. I mean, I think Hulk might we might see some of the Hulk TV movies later on as we keep going.
Oh yes, please.
Well, yeah, the 90s one, sure.
I think Hulk Thor may show up
from 1979. Yeah. I don't think this is like I say really any schlock here. Then
seven is where I'm going.
All right.
I think sure. If only there was a Spider-Man TV movie. Because that thing's incredible. More heart than budget.
I mean, it's a hard one, right? Because I mean, I have no doubt that Red Brown was truly trying to act like he was Captain America. He was giving it his all. But again, based on it being a TV movie in this case, they're just cranking it out like a standard TV show. So that totally limits it. I'm going to go with a 4.
Get Rebs Brown's penis out of your mouth, Stan. This is a TV movie. This is a TV movie made by a pimp. How much art could it be have? 2. And I'm being generous.
You think I gave it a 10 or something?
It doesn't
You're
have a lot.
You're outrageous 4.
It's by numbers.
It's an offense to all heart.
Paint by numbers TV movie. It's 4 billion episodes of paint by numbers TV movie episode show whatever. Yeah, I mean, I you can't go that high on it. I'll go 3.
Oh my god! Oh, 4.
I think I do think that they pulled the Batman 66 trick of you make a movie and you plow your big budget capital projects, your bike, your hang glider, your van. All into this movie so that if it does get picked up for a series, you've paid for the expensive stuff.
And that hang glider apparently was $500,000 or something like that, that scene, which is really, when you think about it.
Actually, that was the scene I had the least problems with.
My only problem with it was I'm wondering if it's still going on.
All right. I mean,
he just hung in the air for a long time.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you look how it shot. The gloves are in every shot of the hang glider.
It's not called a hand plummeter. Yeah. I mean, it's a glider. Yeah. It's supposed to, it is literally, it's designed to hang there.
So. Yeah, that'll make it mean it makes for a good TV show because, let's face it, he's hanging there. Nothing else is happening.
That's true.
Hey, the score is happening.
Connie Selica could be testing other things on herself for no reason. all right. Our next category, and we'll see how this goes. Our next category is called What the Fuck Moments.
I like this because we talked a couple movies ago about errors in production. And in this case, I noticed one with like the kid that he befriends. And now there's a couple moments with the kid, things that you wouldn't get away with nowadays, because like the first time he meets the little boy and he's just like, he's talking to him and he's like, you know, I'd love to go horseback riding with you, Billy, or whatever the fuck the kid's name is. Yeah,
that was and it's creepy, like, dude.
Oh my God. And his mother's standing right there and she's not like, you're a creepy man. It's like, well, you know, you should get out of here because our town is being taken over by bad guys. But you know,
but
normally
Peter was going to take me out on some backwoods paths where no one could see a find
and,
us.
And it's just like, and she's just like, well, you have chores to do. Really, that's the explanation about that. But later on, he does help him with his chores, and you know, the camera pans in such an angle that you can actually see the mic pack on the back of the kid's pants. it's just like, oh, perfect.
Is that a mic pack? You're just happy to see me.
Yeah. Wow, that's coming out the wrong side. One of the things that I'll say, and I know that you guys won't have known this, but on the DVD pack, the wonderful 2-pack from Shout Factory. So in the blurb for Death Too Soon, it says, Captain America returns to carry on the legacy of his father and defend the country. This time, what? However, yeah, exactly right. What? His father?
The was... DVD package might score higher in the movie.
And it's just one of those cases where I'm like, really? The legacy of his father? I don't remember. That wasn't talked about in the movie whatsoever. Hey,
and this was, there was going to be, about this time, they were trying to do a live-action film. I think it was 1981. It was supposed to have Jeff Bridges and Peter Fonda. And I could have seen Jeff Bridges as Peter Fonda was supposed to be Red Skull. Jeff Bridges was supposed to be Captain America. Baron Zemo was supposed to be Alan Rickman. And yeah, Captain, I think Jeff Bridges looks like he could be Red Brown's dad. Is my point.
But yeah, so and then when you take it with the motorcycle and the shield is just so awesomely what the fucky in my mind. So for me, I'm going with a 7 on this one.
WTF, I'm giving it a 6 for the motorcycle that appears wherever you might need it.
Mm-hmm.
You abandoned it in a prison hallway. Next scene, it's outside waiting for, neatly tucked between two buildings for cover so you can grab it.
It's like one of the guards said, well, that's not where we keep motorcycles. They put it in the garage.
You know, you lose it in a river. The next scene, it's in the back of your van. That was the bit I had the most problems with. I'm sure there's other stuff that I didn't care after the motor. Surprisingly, the motorcycle hang gliding, there are two elements that happen right before that. The one, he's throwing the shield, killing bad guys. And then the second, he throws the motorcycle over a wall. And then he hang glides, and by the hang gliding, it's like, okay, we're going with this.
The motorcycle's great.
Just lay back and let it happen.
Yeah, it's one of those things, right? Like, you're trying to do Captain America, but you don't have a lot of budget, but you're a made-for-TV movie, so you're not completely without production values, so it just kind of falls in the middle on a lot of stuff, is the thing for me. I think it's like, for instance, they try on things, but it's such a stretch. And the best example is, you mentioned how nobody figures out that this is Red Brown, but let's Captain America or Steve Rogers gets arrested, as we mentioned. He's in prison. Then they show up in the prison and the bars have been bent and open. So now they run outside, they see Captain America on his bike, and the guy calls somebody and goes, Captain America busted out Steve Rogers. That's not the logical conclusion to what you've just seen. Captain America is Steve Rogers' asshole. You don't have to be very smart to figure that out.
Steve Rogers' first glasses.
Sure glad they parked his van close to the jail so he could grab his costume quickly.
So, I'm really stuck between 6 and 7. I'm going to go 7.
All right.
I think this movie deserves a little love.
All right. I got a couple of fun WTFs for this flick. Later in the film, the president has refused to pay the $1 billion, $1 billion, $3.5 billion today's money. Just, I looked that up.
Was it a billion? I don't remember.
It was a billion. It's a billion. Right, round $1 billion. Easier to figure to count if it's a round number.
Let's face it. This film is very. Christopher Lee is almost like a James Bond villain in this, and he has some experience playing that. So yeah, it makes sense. Billion.
Yeah. So. So they poison, bad guys poison Portland, Oregon.
With a smile.
They use a plane.
Hey, look, if you're going to pick a city, Portland's probably pretty high up there.
Yeah. So
wipe off the planet. Come on.
It wasn't even full of hipsters at the time.
Do you know our numbers in Portland? Or
it wasn't even full of hipsters at the time. I mean, now if you heard Portland got poisoned, you're like, these things happen. So they skywrite the word smile.
I forgot about that.
But what is amazing is that there's like, you see the word appearing in the sky and you hear people on the ground, like there's people on the ground looking up, and and they're trying to figure out what the word is, but the word has already been written and the audio is still going on as if it, they're in the middle of writing it. So one guy's like, SM, small, smil. I think it's smil. Oh, smile. Like, imagine getting to SMIL and you can't figure out where this is going.
He would truly suck at Wheel of Fortune.
That's right. Five letter word, SMIL blank.
Yeah, gonna, smell?
I'm going to buy an A. Smil, that makes sense. That makes good sense. The other one was, and you can correct me if I am wrong on this, but I don't think I am. There's a point where Captain America is trying to find out. There's some stuff being shipped in from South America. There's a chemical that they need for the formula. So Captain America finds out that it's coming in off this one ship, and he goes down to where the ship is being unloaded, and he beats the living shit out of everyone down there. And I'm watching the scene, and he's fighting all these guys, and that's where the scene is where he just holds his shield steady, and the guy runs straight into it and knocks himself unconscious. And I'm about three quarters of the way through the scene, and I'm like, wait, these guys aren't bad guys. They're just dock workers.
Yeah.
Like, they're just guys that happen to be unloading.
Captain America doesn't care.
No, I do believe that one of them, one of them did call into to Miguel. So I think
Captain
that's
America had no way of knowing that.
No, either. No, for sure. He definitely attacked. He shot first in this case.
Hey, look, I don't know about you guys, but I see a bunch of dock workers. My first thought is I got to kick some ass.
Yeah.
That's right.
And you don't have a problem with that you can find drugs by knocking on boxes.
Oh, yeah, with the shield. His shield is magical.
He knocks on three boxes and then opens one up and finds the drugs.
Yeah, because, well, apparently the other boxes were full of whatever doesn't make a sound when you knock on it. I don't know. It's like, well, this shipment is entirely the chemical and pillows. So nothing. Got to be pillows. Empty. Sounds good. Let's break into this one.
He's Captain America. That's what more do you need? Captain fucking America. Okay.
I did have a terrible giggle when he said that under no circumstances is Mr. Rogers to leave that town. there could have been more Mr. Rogers jokes. I've given this an 8. I thought this was very silly. And very, what am I even watching? Memorable moments is the next category.
I mean, the costume by itself is memorable, and the shield is going to be super memorable. I mean, when I think back, I won't remember the plot to save my life per se, but I will never forget the shield, and I will never forget the terrible costume. I wanted to mention something really quickly to tie back to what you had said there, Jim. When they did the skywriting, and then afterwards, when they're going to fix them all, they're in a helicopter and they're just gonna blast the stuff all over them. And they're like, "Oh, good, they got my note, or they got the governor's note. They're all waiting for us on the main street." And meanwhile, it's the road with just like natural traffic going on. Oh, you're right. They're out commuting to their jobs as normal. Like, I just thought, that's really weird. But
I did think that too. You're right, that there was, like, I thought for a city that's in crisis where everybody's aging,
yes.
38 what was it 38 hours in a week or no a week 30, and 38 30, hours or
yeah 30, an hour, 38 38 hour or 38 days per hour.
Yes. 38 speed. Days per hour.
Yeah,
they seem pretty casually, like going to the bank and you know,
they lost 10 months.
They lost 10 months. And they admit they're specific. They lost 10 months. But I worked it back. That means that everything from about 50 minutes into this film, when the smile scene happens, to the end of the film takes 8 hours of movie time.
Wow.
That's awesome.
You know what else? Considering, what is it? Okay, one more time. I've already forgotten. 38 days in an hour?
Yes,
so
for one real hour.
Christopher Lee gets the stuff spilled on him, and then he grabs hold of Steve Rogers, and they struggle. Where I'm thinking, well,
He gets an extreme dose, though. He gets a condensed dose.
Because he aged quickly. I was like, yeah,
they established at another point that a really close up dose.
Because they're
able to spread this in the air over the whole city.
Because the dogs give the dogs a triple dose.
That's right. They spray it. Yeah, they spray directly.
Could Steve Rogers dose. Though have been contaminated with it as well though when
he was
no when wouldn't have been a serious dose from when, you know, they're rustling with each other? Like,
no, because
he got a little bit of a dose. He said that.
I thought
it would be a major dose, though. You know, I mean, they said
it was a smidge.
Just a bit. He aged about 10 days.
But isn't Steve Rogers, like, not aging because of the super serum formula? He was in the ice and
I don't know, but maybe his father got that. Maybe.
I'm now stuck on, like, you know, they sprayed the dogs with the condensed stuff to make them really angry. Are older dogs more angry?
Is that a thing?
Maybe they were puppies.
Maybe they were puppies, and therefore they just weren't first, scary.
They just needed to grow them up to be.
I think it's obvious that the dogs were just pissed. They're like, why are you using this on me? We have a perfectly good cougar around.
It's like a really inefficient shrink ray, basically.
Anyways, I'm going to give this. It's not terribly high, but I'm going to give this a 4 for memorable moments.
6, but only because I can remember this costume better than anything Chris Evans has ever worn.
Fair enough.
Awesome. Not all Boogaloo is entertaining. Sometimes Boogaloo is boring. And that's what I found for this, because it was so much similar to so many other things I'd watched. And there's so little actual action. And again, the hang gliding is the most memorable thing in the movie. But it's really 5 minutes of watching a guy on a bike on a hang glider just get closer to a really slow moving vehicle. So I'm not going high. I'm afraid I'm only going to give it a 3.
All right, I was gonna go with somewhere around a 2 or 3, but Captain America versus Christopher Lee is the battle that I had no idea I wanted so badly. I don't like to equate an actor to a role. So this can be Captain America versus Dracula, it could be Captain America versus Sauron, whatever you feel. But it is wonderful, and then for the way it ends, to have him super aged to death as the finale, I'm giving this an 8.
Your logic is sound. I'll give you that.
The final category is called Crazy Concept.
Again, another movie where the concept we've seen this basic concept before. The tropes are all there. Well, maybe I don't know about the aging serum, but then again, I've not seen all of the $6 Million Man episodes either, so perhaps it existed there. So
I can tell you, I watched, like, coincidentally about 3 months ago on archive.org the original $6 Million Man and the movie, and I can tell you the book, both are. Especially the movie, which sticks to the book quite well, the original novel, way better than this. Definitely recommend you do check those out.
Well, fine. We won't have them on the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo then.
No, thanks, Jack. It's a good flick.
But anyways, so because I'm not sure that there's no aging serum, I'll give this a 3.
Yeah, I'm going right with you with a 3. I did hassle you a little bit when you said this was generic, but you're right. They could have used this movie for Grizzly Adams, BJ and the Bear, any number of quasi superhero-ish shows CBS had in the 70s.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what category are we judging?
Crazy concept.
Wow, are you even here?
Yeah.
You're too busy trying to watch $6 Million Man now.
That was good, man. It was so much better than this. Seriously, you have no idea. It's a plot. Look, if you and I sat down together and we went, you know, we're not writers, but we got to come up with a plot for a cheap made-for-TV movie. What's something that happens? This is what we've come up with. Two. I know they're not going to be able to interpret the comic books directly, but there's not much effort put into this.
Well, they were trying to launch another Captain, and they were trying to launch a Captain America TV show. They had had success with Hulk. Their competitors had had success with Wonder Woman, and they made a TV movie that did not do well enough to warrant a TV series. So they said, well, let's get our heads together and make basically the same thing again,
but spend three times the budget.
We spend way more money on it, but not make it better. I'm going to give this my rare zero for crazy concept. I think they could have brought a little more to it. So every season we have six secret modifiers. This film has none of them.
I was hoping this movie would be saved by the modifiers.
We did have one actor return from the first film, but we had a character return who got recast, and there were only two supporting characters to start with. So I really felt that was working against it as far as the supporting cast. So that brings us to I'm hard pressed to call it a grand total of 45 out of 100, putting it in the bottom 10 of the Octagon.
Wow, it did poorly.
What did it beat?
It got beaten. It just edged out New Year's Evil and American Ninja, and lost by 0.5 to Santa with Muscles.
Wow. The TV moviness of it, I really heard it.
Oh, yeah. It did, for sure. Yep.
The 70s of this really hurt it.
Yeah, I think there wasn't a lot that helped it. I think if it might have turned it around.
Yeah, but so what you're saying is, if there was more that helped it, it wouldn't have scored so bad. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, I think. Yeah. I think.
All right.
We still love you.
And in other news, you know, we want to maximize our efforts of winning and minimize our efforts of losing.
Let's close up again.
Okay. Well, so that's the end of the scoring for Captain America: Death Too Soon. It was an interesting thought to try a TV movie in this case. I wonder how they would do, if this would kind of be a consistent thing down the road for the Octagon. But we got another something different for us coming up next. We have Halloween 6, the producer's cut. So that's a good question as to whether that will wind up being, you know, Super Boogaloo, or if it will just be another, you know, just basically a re-edit of Halloween 6. Who knows?
Yeah, will it be, bad? And are any of us familiar enough with Halloween 6?
Yeah.
Based on this one. But hey, it's introducing Paul Rudd.
Nice.
All right. Jim, tell the folks where to find us on the interwebs.
All right. We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And you can go to wetalkpodcasts.com to check out The Octagon, our ongoing list of our search for the ultimate B-movie in a searchable and sortable chart. And our friends We Talk Podcasts have both Facebook and Twitter, so follow them and keep up to date with what's happening.
All right. Well, I look forward to moving on, and we are getting so close to the end of season 6, Son of Boogaloo. And you know what that means? That means we're getting so close to sharing our movie choices for the next season, season 7. It's exciting times, my friends, exciting times. So let's wrap this episode up so that we can get on to Halloween 6 and get ready to talk some more Boogaloo. All right, for Nick, for Jack, and for Jim, I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
In Captain America 2, the U.S. government calls on Steve Rogers to help uncover a sinister plot against the United States by one of the world's deadliest criminals.
Miguel? The revolutionary?
In his quest for world domination, this man plans on holding the United States hostage.
Yeah. In 2 days, we'll have another Wilson's aging compound to affect that entire city.
He's demanding $1 billion immediately. Or he'll spread a chemical through a major American city, a chemical that will cause rapid aging.
This is a job for Captain America. Reb Brown, Christopher Lee, Connie Selica, and Len Berman star in this high-flying action-adventure tale as America's greatest hero battles against overwhelming odds in Captain America 2, Death Too Soon.